Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be taking a deep dive into Aquis listed investment Evolution Credit. We're going to be looking at the operations of the business and their plans for the future. And to do that, we're very kindly joined by Mark Howes, who is the CEO of Investment Evolution Credit. Mark, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
I'm delighted to join you, Jonathan.
And we're delighted to have you, Mark. So as I said, we're going to be lifting the lid on the business. We're going to be looking at the operations, as I said, your plans for the future, because you do have some extraordinary growth plans for here in the UK. And we're going to be looking at the wider consumer finance market in the UK, because that is the market that you're going to be operating in. But before we get into it, Mark, please, would you be able to give an introduction to listeners that may not be familiar with the company? First of all, an introduction to the company as well as yourself, please.
Sure, no problem, Jonathan. I have, I would say, significant experience across all of the function areas of consumer finance, including risk management. After being in the industry for 38 years, I've lent money in many different ways, be it credit cards, overdraft, personal loans, guarantor loans, mortgages, car loans, etc. And I've operated across 11 countries. I've lived and worked in Germany, Italy, Spain, China. I set up a consumer finance business in China before returning to the UK and building my own business and exiting that business in 2019. So whilst not trying to be too egotistical, I would consider myself an expert on consumer finance. Investment Evolution Credit is an AI-driven fintech PLC operating in the consumer finance space. We completed IPO on the Aquis Stock Exchange in December 2023, backed by equity from existing IEC shareholders, and we're operating under the ticker of IEC. Shares can be transacted electronically through AJ Bell, Barclays, Smart Investors, etc. And we're now looking for investors to support what we see is a very exciting growth plan, not just in the UK, but also in the US. The directors of the business have over 150 years combined experience in the finance industry, consumer lending, banking, and technology. And we've recently recruited a spectacular individual who is well known in developing AI technology in the UK. We're targeting UK launch in 2025 via one of two methods. That's either acquiring a consumer finance company that already has an FCA license and is operating in the UK, or gaining approval of our own FCA license. And we also intend to extend our US operations. We're currently in six states, and we plan to extend to 20 states to cover two-thirds of the UK population. So in summary, Jonathan, we have our own technology that centres around consumer outcomes. We have a strong AI development. We have the ability to acquire companies if the right company comes along. And if we don't acquire, we'll grow organically and extend our US operation. So exciting times.
Very, very much so. Very much so. And as you alluded to there, Mark, it's a growth story. And that's what we're going to focus on in this podcast, the growth story for IEC. And I think the most pertinent place to start would be looking at the wider environment that you're operating in. And we're going to focus on the UK for this particular segment. And it's, you know, really a question here, Mark, to look at the broad landscape. There's been dramatic changes in the consumer finance market in recent years. So it would be great if you could touch on those.
Sure. Happy to do so. And I could start 4,000 years ago, Jonathan, because that's when money lending was first recorded in Mesopotamia around 2000 BC, where payday loans were issued by farmers. So consumer lending is an industry that's over 4,000 years old. It's always been there, and it will be there in the future, regardless of the current landscape. It just goes through cycles. So consumer finance is a long-lasting industry that will continue to modify and evolve, you know, over time. Coming to the current day, if you look at May 2024, outstanding consumer credit lending in the UK was £230 billion in size. And that had increased by over £860 million on the previous month and £14 billion more than in June 2023. So it's still a growing market. The average UK debt, excluding mortgages and student debt, is around £4,300. That's per individual. And 57% of the UK population use some form of credit. So it's very much used as part of the consumerism and fabric of managing family budgets. UK consumers are accustomed to making large purchases using credit to buy high-value products like cars, but also to manage life events that need credit, i.e. a bump in the road, unexpected expenses, large purchases, debt consolidations, holidays, are all reasons why people use credit facilities today. The market for lending separates into many different segments, going from prime, i.e. Lending through clearing banks like Barclays, HSBC, etc., all the way down to the unlendable, i.e. those that do not have the ability to obtain credit because they don't have the income to pay for it. We're looking at operating in the non-prime sector, i.e. in the segment where people find it harder to access credit or access affordable credit, and we see that market as around 10 million people in the UK today. The consumer lending levels in the UK reduced during COVID-19. So to understand the market and understand people's consumption habits, it really does depend on the macro level of what's happening. People took on a lot of debt between 2022 and 2024, despite the high interest rates. And that really is dependent on how confident people feel about their financial situation. And people are more likely to buy goods and services really based on how confident they are with their disposable income and what's happening across the budgets and what's happening across society. I would just finish off this question, Jonathan, by talking about the regulatory position. The biggest impact in the credit market over the last, well, since 2019, has been the reapplying of the interpretation of affordability and fair lending practices by the FCA, which was retrospectively applied post-2019. As a result of that, 250 firms have exited the market. Existing lenders are required to pay significant redress, both to current customers and to closed book customers, i.e. historically the customers they've dealt with. Even if they've cleared their lending facilities, redress has been determined. So with the closure of a number of businesses, a prime example being Provident. You know, Provident was 148-year history of providing door-to-door lending. They no longer exist as a home collect business. So the access to lending has significantly reduced. And as a result, over 400,000 people have resorted to unauthorized lenders, the so-called loan sharks that operate on the sidelines because people who are desperate to access credit cannot access credit through licensed lenders, as it were. In March 2024, the FCA wrote to all chief executive officers, "The consumer lending market is essential to the UK economy, providing a vital service for consumers, including millions in vulnerable circumstances. We want to support a thriving and innovative consumer lending market where consumers have access to credit which is affordable for them." So the market has changed. The FCA have reapplied rules that are very clear on what is fair lending and what is affordable. And that puts IEC in a very strong position to enter the market as a new lender without any of the legacy issues.
Thank you. That's a great point that you make there about coming into the market without those legacy issues, Mark. And I want to look at now where IEC sees the opportunity. You've outlined the market there that you're targeting. But within that market, what's the most exciting element for you? Is it the sheer size of it? Is it the, you know, everyday spending habits of consumers within the UK that have a high propensity to use credit? Or do you see existing players in this market as having some deficiencies in terms of their technology and potentially an opportunity for you to come in and innovate and come in with a new solution which does deliver the outcomes for consumers better than the existing players that you see there?
Well, that's a great question, Jonathan. And to be quite frank, you just answered it as well. The FCA has set very clear standards now of what they expect for a lending business to comply with. Existing businesses that have had legacy portfolios are in a very difficult position because either they've got the wherewithal to meet the redress requirements or they're having to exit the market. Those that are continuing to operate in today's environment have significant legacy issues on existing portfolios that significant resource is being applied to fix the problems of the past rather than focus on the opportunity of the future. And that's really where IEC comes in. We have the benefit of not having those legacy issues, which means we can innovate, we can look at the requirements and apply the requirements of the FCA and using advanced technology and using AI, which can do a lot of the work in identifying consumer behaviors and identifying those that are showing vulnerabilities and how we can deal with those. So we have a strong emphasis on promoting competition. We have a strong emphasis on positive change. We have a clean sheet, as it were, to approach the market. And we're an innovative business with strong AI and fintech credentials. So we're in a strong position to access the UK market and provide solutions. And we believe that will be very attractive to the FCA to bring in that competition without the challenges of the past.
Thank you. So staying on the subject of regulation very briefly, Mark, buy now, pay later has been in the news in recent days. The regulator has its eyes on it. For anyone that's not aware, buy now, pay later, companies offer a payment solution at the checkouts of various different retailers where you can spread your payments over a fixed term, usually three payments. But there is some data that suggests a lot of people are not meeting these payments and being subject to late payment fees, and credit agencies are starting to recognise this. So there's a big shake-up coming. The regulator has its eyes on this particular area. What does it mean for IEC, Mark?
Well, this is a real interesting question, Jonathan. When you talk about buy now, pay later, you cannot avoid talking about Klarna. Klarna has raised £4.3 billion over 35 rounds since inception. They were valued back in 2021 at around $46 billion. It offers financial services to over 150 million people worldwide. So it's been tremendously successful. I know back in February this year, they were looking at an IPO of 20 billion, but I think that's been delayed because they had difficulty in their last funding round of around 800 million. The challenge for them is that buy now, pay later previously fell outside the FCA oversight. And now through the legislation change, it falls within it. And we know that 57% of people borrowing through Klarna are paying late fees and are not repaying those three payments on time. So they're incurring charges. As Klarna do not complete affordability assessments or did not complete affordability affordability assessments, which is fundamental to the FCA, I think there are going to be huge challenges for buy now, pay later in the UK, because people, unless they have fully automated the affordability piece, which is hugely challenging to do, will not be able to provide finance in the same mechanism that they're doing today, which is you tick a box on the online checkout and you qualify for Klarna. I think it's going to reduce access to credit and benefit new providers entering the market. We don't have any intention in entering the buy now, pay pay later market. We're looking at longer term sustainable personal loans, as I said, for helping people with bumps in the road or major purchases. But I think it's really interesting to see how the FCA modify or oversee what buy now, pay later is doing, and how car loans have been operating, which again is another focus of attention for the FCA today.
Thank you. So IEC is a fintech financial technology company. And as you mentioned at the beginning, Mark, a lot of this technology is focused on AI and the processes within the company. I think the question here is really from where you're sitting and what you see at IEC, what sets IEC apart from the competition in terms of the internal processes and how you're integrating integrating AI into your process, such as suitability checks, as you just mentioned there.
Yeah. I liken AI in financial services to genetic testing in the future of the health industry. And in the health industry, you can see that within a relatively short period of time, everybody will have full genetic profiles as part of their health record, and that will determine medications and treatments that they get, because genetic testing is at the forefront of innovation today. AI is very similar, Jonathan, in that to lend responsibly today, avoid money lending, avoiding fraud, ensuring people have affordability, assessing vulnerabilities, etc. It is the aggregation of a plethora of sources of data. It's not just a credit bureau these days. You are collecting information, specific information from multiple bureaus, and being able to assess all of that information in a consistent, proven way is the challenge of the future. It's always been a human intervention, and a company like Everyday Loans, for example, uses a branch network to interview potential customers, to look for vulnerabilities, to look at how to deal with those and handle those vulnerabilities, to provide responsible credit. Today, AI can do a lot of that, and that's where the modern lending of the future will develop, using technology and behavioral technology to determine people's affordability, to determine fairness, and not just in lending, but also using AI where people are struggling, where their vulnerability has come to the fore, as it were, or they have financial problems. It's using AI to determine the best forbearance and the best way of working with that customer over time when they experience difficulties. So AI is part of the future. And because we don't have to spend our resource and time on fixing legacy issues, we can use our resource and time on implementing that technology. Again, exciting.
Indeed, very exciting. So we've touched on the competition and what IEC are doing differently there. I think for listeners, Mark, it'd be really good if you could outline, to really build some context for IEC, the competition. Who are the main players that you think you're going up against in this market?
I think to a large extent, it really is a polarizing market. Just before I get into that, I just want to reference the Financial Life Survey of 2022 that was completed by the FCA. And they, in their report show that 27.3 million adults have difficulty in accessing suitable financial services products. Now, if you look at 27.3 million adults, that's like saying most of the working adult population in the UK struggles with accessing finance. I think it's more like 10 million people, but that is what the FCA is showing. If you look at the actual competitor in the market, I mentioned Everyday Loans. They have a branch network across the UK. I don't think that's sustainable in the future compared to online companies. And whereas the benefit of having a branch network enabled you to have face-to-face assessments and face-to-face counselling, that can be replaced now with technology. I mean, we have FaceTime, we have Zoom, we have Teams. You have anti-fraud software that can assess people's behavior on, you know, video calls. That most of the benefits of having a branch network can be supplanted with the technology that's available today. And we see Everyday Loans as a competitor, but that model will not be sustainable. 118 Money and Progressive Lending are both online platforms, but again, have legacy issues to deal with. So really, whilst there's competition there, the future lies with the new entrants, and we're on the front foot.
Indeed. So just taking a bit of a step back here, Mark, and you know, we obviously spoke about the opportunities for IEC, but I think listeners to this would be interested to get your views on the challenges that you see ahead of you. And you know, maybe if we frame this in, you know, the broader fintech space, you know, IEC operating as a fintech in the UK, where do you see the biggest challenges?
I see the main challenge, Jonathan, is on funding. Simple as it's access to funding, both to grow your operations, but more importantly, to grow the debt funding for the portfolio. You know, since COVID and the previous elections and the challenges that the Tory party experienced through Liz Truss government, etc., access to liquidity is a challenge, and it's been a challenge since then. You know, we see that the liquidity in the market has dropped significantly over this period of time. Now, we remain hopeful. Upcoming budget, new government will encourage investment and growth in UK companies, and will continue to push ahead with these sort of podcasts and reaching out to the investment market, because the opportunity is there. We can show very strong returns on investment, but we do have to start releasing capital and liquidity into the market, not just for IEC, but for many other companies and many other growth opportunities that the UK needs to capitalize on. So I would say funding is the biggest challenge in the market today.
Thank you. So we've spoken in detail about the UK, Mark, but of course, IEC are operating at the moment over in the US. How does the US fit into the bigger picture for IEC? Are your ambitions for the US as strong as they are for the UK?
Jonathan, you said we're going to focus on the UK. So thanks for that question. You know, the US has a target market of over 150 million borrowers, and that compares to the market in the UK that I see is 10 million. So you've got a 15 times opportunity across the US. The US has a different regulatory position, where it has federal regulation and local state regulation, so it's slightly more complicated to operate in. But I would say it's significantly behind the FCA quality, I would say, and specificity of regulation in the UK. Frankly, we want to be a lender of choice for both markets. Today, we have licenses covering six key states. That covers a population of around 100 million, and we plan to extend that reach to 20 states. So it would cover two-thirds of the US population. And the speed of us doing that will really depend on investor appetite. But both markets are fundamental for us.
Great, great. You know, it's good. I think it's good to clarify that point there, because as you said, a huge market in the United States as well, but of course focusing on the UK for this particular podcast. And, you know, on that front, Mark, you mentioned at the beginning that, you know, you've got two options that you're looking at. One could be acquiring a business that has an FCA license. The other option is to apply to the FCA with a view in either case of starting operations in 2025. How's it going with the FCA application? Is there any updates there? I know you've put out an announcement in recent months that something that you were looking at. Is there anything you can share with investors at this point?
Well, I think we've already communicated. We've appointed a leading international law firm, Osborne Clark LLP. They're probably the strongest in the market of representing consumer finance organizations with the FCA, and they're our legal advisor. And they're progressing with our IEC application with the FCA. So that's taken on a new gear now, because we've been successful in recruiting an amazing board. I mentioned earlier over 150-year experience, but if you look at the board structure that we've put together, originating from the founder, Paul, with his incredible background, we have a leading contributor to AI in the UK, an individual that has more than me, i.e. more than 38 years experience in C-level roles in household name financial services organization. So we're creating a team of best-in-class, you know, operators and leading fintech AI individuals to represent the business with the FCA as we push forward for our license. So we certainly expect to have that completed in 2025. But as you mentioned, and I mentioned earlier, we have a really strong appetite to acquire consumer lending companies with a license. Now, there's two strategies here: build a business organically, or acquire businesses that meet your profile, meet your conditions, and look at how you can grow those, right, in the new environment without having to deal with legacy portfolios that we obviously wouldn't acquire as part of that process. So we've got many plates spinning, Jonathan, a lot of them. I certainly would expect to be open for business in 2025.
Fascinating. Thank you. So to wrap everything up now, Mark, and I think this is something for your potential investors that are looking at IEC would be particularly interested in hearing. There may be more, but I'm going to ask you to limit this to three, Mark. What are the three most exciting things that you see for IEC in the next 12 months?
Really what I've said, Jonathan, acquiring an operating company with a license or gaining our own license, that's priority one. Priority two would be partnering with a debt funder to finance the portfolio growth, both in the UK and US. We have the right plans. We have the right strategies in place. We need someone to get behind us and enable us to accelerate that growth in a controlled environment. And the third one would be my personal goal, which is writing our first loan in the UK in 2025.
Fantastic. Thank you. Just a quick note to listeners, if you'd like to put a face to Mark's voice, do check out the video section on the UK Investor Magazine website, because there is a recording in there of a presentation that Mark gave at our event at Aquis a few weeks ago. So do check that out for further information. Mark, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Pleasure, Jonathan. Thank you.
Thank you. And just a final note for listeners, Investment Evolution Credit listed on Aquis under the ticker IEC, as Mark mentioned at the beginning, accessible on most electronic trading platforms. Thank you very much for listening.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.